In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who calls us to protest by loving. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Memorial Day. Well, actually, tomorrow is Memorial Day. This is Memorial Day weekend. And one of the things that happens consistently during this weekend is the Indy 500. And I know that probably a few of you are excited about that. I really don't understand it. It's like left turn, left turn, left turn. But you know, there is something to that. Just the sheer awesomeness of those machines going around the track for that amount of time. And the Indy 500 is this huge thing. And there are people that try to capitalize on it being the huge thing that it is. And unfortunately, some of the people that are trying to capitalize on it this weekend are the folks from the Westboro Baptist Church. Now, if you know anything about the Westboro Baptist Church, they are not necessarily folks that we would probably have a church picnic with. Serious. They would bring signs. It would be ugly. They're the folks that they have been known for doing several things throughout their existence. They're actually a very, very small church of about 40 people in Topeka, Kansas. And what they do and how they've gained notoriety is by being very sort of unabashedly just kind of mean to all sorts of people that they believe are in sin. And what they feel that they are doing is legitimately protesting what it is, how America is sinning. And so the first thing that you find out that they don't like is they don't like homosexuality at all. And even their website's name gives that away pretty clearly. And but then they started to do something else. They started to do something that seems to have come out of their dislike of homosexuals and homosexuality. And that has been that they've said that they were going to start protesting the funerals of soldiers. And they started doing that in 2005, and they continue to do that today. And they protest the funerals of soldiers because they believe that the death of American soldiers in places like Iraq and Afghanistan are a direct result of the United States and its acceptance of homosexuality. And so they actually have a ticker on their website that has the number of American servicemen and women that have died in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they have very ugly signs that say things like "God hates soldiers" and things like that. And basically the whole deal is to protest what they feel is wrong with the world. And we understand as Christians that there are things wrong with the world. We even have some beliefs about things that are wrong with the world that are not the things that people outside of Christianity would say are wrong with the world. We find ourselves at odds with our culture time and time again, and we have to figure out a way of saying, well, we want to protest this, but how do we do that? How do we say that we are a distinct people? We've been reading 1 Peter for quite some time throughout this Easter season, and 1 Peter has been telling us, you are a distinct people. You once were not a people, but now you are a people. And we have this uniqueness, this distinctiveness, but we don't want that uniqueness and distinctiveness to be the uniqueness and distinctiveness of the Westboro Baptist Church. Because, like I said, we don't want to have a church picnic with them. And if we don't want to have a church picnic with them, who does, really? I mean, seriously, we like to eat, right? So, we have to figure out a way to do that. And that's sort of what Paul is doing in our reading from Acts. He's going through this town, town of Athens, where it seems like everybody is into talking about culture. It's a very cosmopolitan city. It's very, everybody sits around and they do nothing all day except talk about new ideas. I would love to live in Athens. That sounds great. To just sit around and be like, well, what do you think about this idea? What do you think about that idea? And so Paul goes into the synagogue first, because that's kind of how Paul does his thing. And he walks into the synagogue, and he starts talking with the people that are in the synagogue. Now, it's a synagogue, so everybody in there is either a Jewish person or a God-fearer, which means that they're basically Jewish, although they're not ethnically Jewish. And so they start talking, and because there is a synagogue in Athens, they have a certain kind of perspective on things. And so they start talking to Paul, and they're like, whoa, you're kind of out there, man. I know some people that would love to talk to you. And so they take Paul, and they take him down to the Areopagus, and they say, okay, well, this guy has some new stuff, and you guys just sit around all day and you talk about new stuff. So, listen to his new stuff. And so Paul starts kind of talking to them, and they find out that he believes in this resurrection thing, and that's weird, and okay, what about that? And Paul has to figure out a way in which to make his stance. Because Paul's stance is very different from the people in the synagogue, and Paul's stance is very different than the people that are there at Mars Hill that are asking him all of these questions. And so Paul has to figure this out, and he doesn't have the option of having a sign. And so he has to look around, and he has to find something, and I noticed that you have this altar to an unknown God. Let me tell you about him. And that captures their interest. And in that, he's able to make his stance. And he's able to say, okay, this is what this belief in God is all about. Let me try to differentiate myself. Let me try to differentiate myself in a way that shows that I'm the guy who knows who the unknown God is. Now, Paul could have done that in a very different way. Paul could have gone in there and said, I see that you have a lot of idols. You're going to burn in hell. I don't think that would have been quite as effective. There's maybe something maybe it would have, maybe not, though. I certainly don't think that that would have been effective in our culture, because in our culture, that is not something new. And so the folks at the Areopagus who love everything new, they've heard that message in our culture. They've heard Westboro Baptist Church loud and clear. And I think sometimes we fool ourselves into this idea that they haven't heard that. That folks haven't heard this story that we believe that there are going to be people who go to hell. Now, they probably haven't heard the reality behind the story and what actually qualifies you for hell as opposed to what doesn't qualify you for hell. Because what qualifies you for hell is, well, really everything that you do. And what disqualifies you from hell is belief in Jesus Christ. But our culture has heard something else. And we're stuck walking around Tallahassee as if it's Athens looking for a altar to an unknown God so that we can differentiate ourselves. So that we can say, hey, we're a little bit different. And so you have this sense where we are kind of flowing through life. And that's where 1 Peter kind of jumps in with his talk in 1 Peter 3. And it's interesting that a lot of times I hear 1 Peter 3 used in soundbite form. Where the soundbite is always, have a defense for the hope that is within you. And usually that soundbite stops there. And if you look in your bulletin or in your Bible or whatever, it actually goes on. And it goes on to say that that should be done with gentleness. And yet so often we forget about that. And I think the reason that we want to forget about that is that we like to be in positions of power. We like to be in positions where we are able to say, my way or hell. My way or God hates you. My way or something really bad is going to come. But the way that 1 Peter is doing this, it's not like that at all. In fact, what 1 Peter has been doing, at least for the past 2 weeks, what he's been writing about, he's been saying, do good stuff. Do lots and lots of good stuff. And be ready to get whammied for it. Get ready to do some good stuff and to have somebody persecute you. Get ready to do good stuff and have somebody hate you for the fact that you're doing good stuff. Because that is the way of the world. And it's the way of Christianity. The way of Christianity is not a way of going into our culture and damning everyone. In fact, that's not even our call. We get to point to Scripture, and say, these things are wrong. These things are not correct according to Scripture. But we don't get to say, you're going to hell or that God hates you. Because if God hates that person, God hates you too. Because you're just as bad of a sinner. There is no differentiation in sinning to Him. One sin is as bad as another. If you steal a stick of grape gum from Publix, or if you kill someone, it's the same thing. Not to us. We're not going to kill you for stealing grape gum. But if you kill somebody else, we just might. Or at least lock you up in jail forever. But that's not the way that God works. Because God works like this. He says, you have to be perfect. And stealing grape gum is not perfect. So that lumps you with the not perfect people. As does killing somebody else. As does sleeping with the wrong person outside of marriage. As does all of these other things. They all are evidences of our brokenness and our sin. But they're also evidences of who God is. Who this God is that we worship. Who this God is that showed us a way to point to a God that is unknown in our culture. A suffering, bleeding God. And His suffering, bleeding church. That wades into a world just like He waded into a world full of sin. And suffered. And died. And rose again. And came out of that tomb, and out of the brokenness that He took on for the sake of the world. Today is Memorial day. This weekend is Memorial Day, and it actually has this long history that I've talked about during other Memorial Day weekends, and so I'm not going to bore you with it again, but basically today is all about the fact that this holiday was instituted by people that came to soldiers' graves and decorated them. It used to be called Decoration Day. They used to come to those graves and they used to decorate them in showing honor for what they had done, for how they had suffered. This Sunday, and every Sunday, and every day, is our Memorial Day as Christians. To decorate His empty tomb. And to walk out into a world that needs to hear about a God that maybe they haven't heard about in a long time. And say, "This is my Lord who saved me, a sinner whom God should have hated, but loved enough to suffer and die for it."